good day, mate. I know that sounds stupid. I just get sometimes afraid it's a little boring to every morning come on with good morning. But you get the idea. Glad you could join me this morning. We're going to continue our study of 1 Corinthians, but as a side trail on something we've been looking at in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Yesterday I had you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and I want to go back and tie up some loose ends there, and then we will come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We have been looking in chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians about the relationship, we've been looking at this relationship between the unbelieving husband and a saved wife, a converted husband and an unsaved wife. And I brought us over here to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 because you're dealing with a different situation here. In 1 Corinthians, you've got a man and a woman who are married. One gets converted, the other is not. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 14, we're dealing with a situation here that I think precludes the difficulties that you find in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. The difficulty is this: what do you do with somebody when one mate is a Christian and the other is not? It makes a lot of tension in the home. Sometimes it gets very ugly. It's a tragedy when it does, but it happens. Now, while he is talking in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 about the effect that the Christian wife has on her unsaved husband, or the Christian husband has on his unsaved wife, I want you to notice, please, that the tension that is there is to be avoided if you obey the scripture to begin with. You will notice here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, the command, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." When parents raise their children, as you raise those children, as you rear those children, you ought to be inculcating, you ought to be training them to have a desire to do what the Bible says. Now, in all honesty, I don't see that happening very often. And as a result, there comes a point when Junior's desires and little Sally Beth, Mary Jane, Joe, whatever her name is, when the son and or the daughter decides they want to do something and mom and dad don't want it to happen, and you get into a situation of rank and open rebellion. Now, part of the problem is the fact that mom and dad have not reared them properly. Part of the problem is going to be with the kid in their own attitude. But if a Christian family, if a set of Christian parents has reared their children to have respect for what the Bible says and given them a desire to know and to do what the Bible says, then when they come up to the time when they want to get married, they start dating, they start thinking seriously about starting a home, a family of their own, the heartache that comes when emotions have gotten out of hand and there's an attraction that the Christian has, an emotional bond that has been built between the Christian and an unsaved individual. Now, it makes it very hard because when that happens, if the Christian decides better late than never to obey the scripture, he realizes he cannot consummate that relationship. There can be no marriage between the saved and the unsaved. Biblically, it is not supposed to happen. But all too often, they don't have enough spine to do that, and so as a result, they say, "Well, I know, but I'm going to marry him anyway." Now, whether it's said that way, or they just go ahead and let the momentum of everything carry them on through, they find themselves married to an unsaved individual, and then the problems really begin. Because if the individual who is a professing Christian says, "Oh, I want to go to church, let's go to church," and the unconverted one says, "Why? I don't want to. You know, I work all week and I'm tired. Let's just use Sunday. You know, Sunday's a morning to sleep in, And the next thing you know, there is a problem that has been brewing that eventually will come to a head in one of two directions. Either the professing Christian will decide that, well, you know, laying in bed on Sunday morning is a lot more comfortable than the pews at church. Or they'll say, look, you don't want to go, that's fine, but I'm going. And then you may or may not have bitterness in the home. It's a tragedy. And if Christians would do what the Bible says, it is a tragedy that could obviously be avoided. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That is a command. That is not a suggestion. Now, parent, what do you do? What do you do? Well, hopefully, you're training your children. You're bringing them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. But you may find yourself in a position like right now, you may be in this circumstance where your daughter or your son wants to marry somebody who is not a Christian. It's rough enough if they're members of a different church. Let's say you're a Baptist and they want to marry a Methodist. It becomes something else entirely if they want to, let's say, you're a Bible-believing Christian. I don't care whether it's Baptist, Methodist, Independent. I don't care what it is. But let's say you believe the Bible and your son or daughter decides they want to marry a Catholic or a Jew. What do you do? Well, and you pitch a fit, and then there's a big ugly thing, and then you come to the point where you are going to say, well, gee whiz, if I set my foot down and stick with it and don't go to the wedding, then I've cut myself off from my son or my daughter, and I'll never be forgiven, and blah, 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 blah. And so you go ahead and you swallow your pride or you swallow your convictions and go ahead and participate in a marriage that you know the Bible says is wrong. And what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Some of you have already been there. Some of you know exactly, from the bitterness of experience, you understand exactly what I'm talking about. This verse needs to be taught to the children when they are young, when they are little kids. This needs to be taught to them so that when they get to the point where they discover the opposite sex, they know. Well, they know, you know, when I grow up, I want to marry a man like my daddy. When I grow up, I want to marry a woman like my mama. You know, we're talking about in the sense of having a good family, a happy marriage. Now, folks, I do hope your kids have seen that in your marriage. But whether they have or not, there are certain things that they need to understand and you need to understand. As I mentioned, this business of being unequally yoked together with unbelievers is something that transcends the marriage scenario. And this may be more germane, this may be more relevant to the majority of you right now. You will notice it says, what communion, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? And it goes on. Some of you, I doubt that there's many because of the nature of the teaching you get on this program, but some of you go to churches that, while on a local level, the congregation may be filled with good, down-home folks, fine, salt-of-the-earth type people, but the church is a part of a conference, a part of a denomination, and that denomination has gone soft. Or worse, it has gone apostate. You'll find that your denomination is sanctioning homosexuals in the pulpit, whether they are officially ordaining them or just tolerating them. You may find that homosexuality is something that is being embraced as a sign of diversity. You may find that religious apostasy, a departure from the faith, denial of the deity of Christ, the miracles of the Bible, you will find things in the home office that bother you. But you still say, well, this is my church. I helped build this building, and this is our church. And wait a minute, what does the Bible say? Wherefore, verse 17, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Years ago, when I came into this area, I was approached by people that did not go to my church. I didn't know, but as a minister, they decided that my opinion might be worth finding out. And so the Methodist denomination at that point in time, at least in the state of Ohio, was considering the question as to whether or not to ordain homosexuals to the pastorate. And several people, many people were upset about that. And they said, what should we do? What should we do? And I told them, and I turned them to this passage. I said, you need to get out of that. I said, your denomination has gone. Oh, no, we can win this. No, you can't. No, you can't. You see, it's a thing that ought not ever have been brought up for serious discussion in the first place, much less debate. It should never have been brought to a vote. To do so, for it to have gotten this far along, is to indicate there's enough apostasy already in control. There's enough disobedience to the Word of God to allow this thing to even be brought up, to be brought to a vote. I said, you need to pull out of it. Oh, we can't do that. They own our building. We build it, but they own it. Well, I guess you've got a price then, don't you? You can be bought. Whether it's a price of a building. I've talked to men who are in denominations, been in the machinery for a long time. Their retirement and their fringe benefits are tied up in it. They say, yes, I don't agree with what's going on, but I can't pull out because if I do, I lose all my retirement. So you do have a price. You can be bought. Your silence has a price tag on it. Well, people don't like to hear that. But my friend, when you honestly consider what the Bible says, is there really any debate? Is there any question to be seriously considered? Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you unto myself. Now, you see, as long as good men keep their mouth shut about it, that which is wrong will continue, and will strengthen, and will grow. You say, well, if we say anything about it now, it's too late. Yes, it is, but it's not too late for you to do what's right. It may be too late to salvage what's left of a religious organization, a religious machine. It's become politically, it's become politicized. You look at where the money goes in so many of these denominations. You'll find your money going to support Planned Parenthood. Well, let's strip it to bottom line. You're paying for support of abortion, abortion clinics. You will find that there are groups that a lot of denominations support that advocate violent revolution. And as a result, I know of denominations, I'll not name them unless you particularly ask, I'll not name them. But I know that there are denominations that are widely represented in the Ohio River Valley, where the home offices give money to terrorist organizations, and in turn, they use that money to buy the bullets that killed missionaries on the field in Angola and in different countries in the bush in Africa. Now, on the local level, do you want to be a part of that? But by association, you are connected with it. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. Folks, it's what the Bible says. The question is whether or not you'll obey it. Join me tomorrow for the next edition of the Bible Says.